Mark Bell is Assistant Inspector General for Audit in the Office of Inspector General at the Department of Homeland Security and looking at DHS's charge card program. What specifically did you want to look at in how DHS executes its charge card program? Thanks for your time today, Mark.
Yes, Francis, no problem. To start off, I just want to kind of give a little scope of the program. DHS uses both the government charge cards, which are the purchase cards, and the travel cards for a number of its business transactions. It's averaged about $400 million per year from 2012 to 2014. So it does possess the opportunity for a lot of risk. The Government Charge Card Act of Charge Card Abuse Prevention Act of 2012 requires OIGs to do periodic risk assessments on agency charge cards and convenience check programs and analyze risk of illegal, improper, erroneous purchases and payments. So we do this this work as a regular course of business, and we change up how we do it each year so that we're looking at a broad base of the program.
When you say you change up how you do it every year, do you look at different components, or do you look at different ways that the charge cards are used, or how is it different on an ongoing basis?
Yes, to both of those. So we include more of some components. We look at different aspects of the controls. We may change our sampling methodology to pull different transactions, just so we continue to get a broad look at the program.
What challenges did the agency experience to make sure that all of the components were following the same requirements? That's, from what I understand, still one of the growing pains of putting all of these various components together under one roof.
Yes. The department has made a lot of progress in what we call our unity of effort in trying to get everybody doing things very similar. But we have such a diverse missions, and the components do so many different things. The department generally relies on the components to conduct oversight of their own programs, including the purchase card and travel card programs. There is department-level guidance, but what the department hasn't been able to do effectively yet is ensure that each component has developed and implemented specific procedures on how guidance applies to their employees. In a couple of components, they use different forms because they have slightly different requirements, but they've never gone back and looked at their procedures and put procedures in place and made sure those procedures meet all the requirements that DHS has in place, which in fact include all the requirements that the government has in place. Additionally, components don't have documented and approved oversight plans, so the work they're doing to oversight is a little bit haphazard. The department does conduct a monthly post-payment audit of transactions, but it really needs a more robust capability. And to the department's credit, they are out there. They're in the process of getting a more robust capability for some automated data mining of transactions, so they should be able to get a little bit better insight into the component activities. On a positive note, DHS, on the travel card, DHS has pretty good procedures in place for transactions that are related to government travel and matching those transactions to actual travel vouchers. Where we're lacking there is that they don't have procedures in place to identify when an employee is using their travel card outside of official business, which is prohibited under the rules.
Are those the best practices kinds of things that may exist at other agencies and would just be a simple case of having to implement them? Or are these processes and procedures that the agency would need to implement from scratch because they're unique or specialized, at least, to an agency like DHS?
These procedures exist in other agencies. I spent some time at Department of Interior, and they had a pretty robust program. So generally, the procedures are available from other agencies. It's just a matter of fine-tuning them to what DHS needs. So, and I said, at department level, it seems like they've got a fairly good handle on the procedures. It's going down to that component level where we're still struggling.
Mark Bell of the Office of Inspector General at the Department of Homeland Security. There's one statement in the report that I found interesting and I wanted to get some clarity on. The report says DHS didn't ensure components established documented procedures to comply with DHS requirements on charge card use. if I read between the lines, I'm not reading that there is actually a compliance problem. I'm reading that it's more of a documentation problem that the agency just needs to make sure of. Am I reading that correctly?
When you look at it, there is an issue with compliance. If you're looking at the charge cards themselves and the processes that they're being used, it appears that they're doing the right things. We didn't identify anything that was being bought that shouldn't be bought. But they're not documenting that. If you back it up one level and you talk about the components having compliant processes and procedures in place, they don't have them in place, but without having them in place, we're not sure they're actually doing it.
Got it. Makes sense. Yeah. And that's one of the recommendations that you make, one of four, requiring components to develop purchase card procedures. Do you have input as to what those procedures should incorporate, or just that they need to have them in place?
Generally, the procedures should follow the department procedures, which are in line with the government's procedures. So all of that information of what steps should be taking place are in there. The weakness in the procedures, I think if you look in the report, we identified some things where, for instance, there wasn't any documentation when an employee decided that they needed to buy a item from a blocked or restricted provider. As you know, the charge card, there's what we call merchant category codes that some of them identify merchants as perhaps a casino,
mm-hmm.
and they're often blocked electronically. There are methodologies for the employees to go around that block because that is where they have to actually go. But if they don't document that, we don't know that. And so the controls the components should have in place and the procedures they have in place should have in place should allow the employee to be able to go there and say, okay, I'm going to go to this blocked MCC. What do I do?
The next recommendation that you make is implementing an oversight plan for purchase and travel cards. And you talked about finding some issues with the oversight plans that exist now. Again, is this is there a prescription for this, or is it just the fact that that the components need to get some kind of oversight plan in place?
They need to get an oversight plan in place, but it shouldn't be that challenging because they exist already. And if they just follow the department's guidance, it's just a matter of them putting it in place, making the tweaks to make it specific to their component, and getting it out there and implement it.
And when you say make tweaks to specific to their components, I understand the sensitivities from one component to the next, but mm-hmm. as you say, it strikes me that it should be, the tweaks I would think would be relatively minor. Are there cases where that might not be true?
The tweaks should be relatively minor, but there are some things that different components do. For instance, you have CBP down there on the border in a unique environment. That may and they may not be near a supervisor. They may not be near an approving official. So what's the alternate for them to be able to get approval if they're out there on the border? The Coast Guards may be out at sea, come into a different port. They may need to make some purchases. What are the procedures specific to that?
The final recommendation is updating policy to include penalties for card misuse.
Mm-hmm.
What associated guidance do you have with that recommendation, Mark?
Okay, the department does have guidance. Their employees, this particularly goes to the travel card, and employees are not supposed to use their travel card for personal business outside of official travel. The department's policy is somewhat limited in its and its penalties for this. Generally, what happens is the cardholder loses their card. But if the cardholder is abusing it and using it as sort of a free cash, interest-free loan every month to do something on a personal level, we believe that there should be more robust penalties for that type of activity.
Mark, thank you very much for your insight into this report and this work, and I thank you for your time today.
Okay, thank you, Francis.